So, welcome everybody to the Housing and Transportation Committee through the Senior Citizens Advisory Council.
Okay. Yep. It's low volume. Sorry.
Okay, because I used to hear it from me recording. All right.
So, well, no worries. So, welcome everyone. I'm calling for order. Oh, I see Beth coming in. So, I'm going to talk really slow so she can hear me. Today at 9:35. So, I am doing the inspiration. And my inspiration is really short. Always remember, we are never too old to realize a new goal. Also, we must realize just because someone is older, it does not mean that they have nothing left to offer to society, nor are they incapable of accomplishing great things in their remaining years.
I like that.
Very nice. That's so pointing back. Sorry. No worries. We just started. There's also some treats if you like. Help yourself. Okay, so with Jerry was supposed to do the pledge today, unfortunately, he's got an excused absent. So if everyone would please rise if you are able. And place your right hand over your heart and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, okay. Lynn, are you able to roll call?
Thank you for printing the initiate. Okay, so I'm present Elizabeth Busek. And Jerry Cheney.
Nope.
Excused. Okay. And Jean Hernandez is excused. And Juno Kim.
Take them. No.
Yeah, been here the whole time. He's missed out on all the trees. Here. Thank you. And Crystal. Is this Lily or Lily?
She's also excused.
Irene Rose. Sandy Sting is
present.
Nathan Steele.
He's not here.
He's down since. Two?
Yeah, quorum is four.
Quorum is four.
That plus one.
Okay.
That was the big one, it is, for this one, it's four.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Yay, that would be great. I have a form. So, on agenda item number five, public comment. This time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comment shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair pre-identifies at a time, which I'm not. Do you have any public comments? Good. Right, so we get to go right into our presentation agenda item six, aging and disability resource connection. Ruth Cho is the director of collaborative resources, Dale McIntosh Center, and want to give her a warm welcome and say thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to be talking about the ABOC today. It's awesome because one of our core partners is actually located right across from the VSO. We also have some co-located staff who are part of the VSO reps, the phone reps. So it's really nice to kind of have this full circle collaboration. We'll go over what the ADRC is, what kind of services that we provide, and kind of how that system works. And now, you know, since I know that you guys wanted information on housing and transportation, I'll be sure to share on that as well. So the ADRC is actually a collaboration of networks. So in order to create an ADRC, you would need actually one independent living center, which focuses on the disability community, and one area agency on aging, which would be Office on Aging. And so together, as we know, many times aging and disability go hand in hand, whether you have a disability now or you acquire one later on with time or, you know, through incident or whatever it may be, no one is kind of safe from disability, right? It's a natural part of life. And so through the ADRC, We combine both aging and disability to be able to ensure that an individual is fully served. The ADRC was actually funded through the Olmstead decision. So that's how it was established. The Olmstead decision actually says that individuals with disabilities are allowed to live in the community. Back in the days when you had disability, stuck away in an institution, put into a facility, but also they learned a lot with time that, again, disability is a natural part of life. That doesn't mean you can't live in the community anymore. So DMC, the Dale McIntosh Center, and ADRC is all about independent living. We want to avoid institutionalization. We want to avoid facilities. We believe regardless of age or disability, you can live independently at home with the proper supports, whether that might be a caregiver who comes in part-time, whether that might be food delivery services, so you don't have to go to the grocery store every day to get meals. There's a lot of different community supports that are available, and it's our job at the ADRC to educate and empower individuals through those community supports. So the ADRC, again, is a collaboration of networks. So we have several different agencies within our ADRC network. The ADRC, actually, there's only one here in Orange County, and we're in. So Dale McIntosh Center and Office on Aging, we serve all of Orange County, North County, South County, Central, all the way down to San Juan Capistrano, and, you know, all these South County super far out, all the way up to Yorba Linda and Villa Park and these areas as well. So anything, as long as it's still considered Orange County, they're eligible for our services. So as explained, the ADRC requires an independent living center and an area agency on aging. So we've got DMC and Office on Aging, and soon I'm going to show you some of the other partners that we have in this network. So within the ADRC, we have access to services from Alzheimer's, OC, to work with individuals with memory loss or dementia. CHEOC, the Community Health Initiative of Orange County, they specialize in Medi-Cal. So if there's an individual who needs help with an application, they want to know, would I qualify? Maybe they have Medicare, but they should qualify for Medi-Cal as well, and they want to keep both. Many times that happens. Someone says, I can't get IHSS, which is the in-home support services. I can't get IHSS because I'm a Medicare recipient, but I only get Social Security. I'm making like $2,000 less, sometimes most of the time, less than $2,000 a month on Social Security. In those situations, CHEOC can let you know, would you qualify? Of course, we've got the Office on Aging, HICAP as well. We haven't included some of our, these are the partners that we actually pay to be part of our extended network. So they're getting a monthly stipend in order to receive direct referrals from us. So we've got 211 OC, I'm sure many of you know 211 already. So just an information and referral. And of course, the Veterans Service Office, right? Military connected. And that goes for people who may not have served in the military, but they might have a military spouse or a military parent. And they don't even know that they've been qualified for a monthly benefit.
Ruth, 211 OC, aren't they merging or haven't they merged?
They're
merged with
United Way.
United Way, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So 211 OC has their own a million initiatives going on. They've got the Equity in OC. And through United Way, they're also participating in CalAIM, which we'll get into a little bit later. But through CalAIM, that's how we're able to provide the housing support or housing assistance. Right now, CalOptima is actually providing funding and grants to agencies like ours, like DMC, in order to provide four different services. It's going to be the housing. It's going to be transitions from facilities into the community. So again, we want to get people out of institutions and out of facilities back into the community. And then we've got actually three different housing supports through our housing contract. That means we can help with your move-in fees, your security deposit, first month's rent. Sometimes we can offer a double deposit to a landlord who's like, you know what, you kind of got poor credit. We're not going to be able to approve you, but we'll give you a double deposit so that we can give you that extra safety net to help advocate for a landlord to approve you. And then we have the deposit assistance, which includes furniture and furnishings. Many times, especially if people are coming from a smaller place or maybe they're renting a room, and they never had to get their own fridge. But once they get into an apartment, now they need a fridge. They need living room furniture, couches, you know, anything, Anything household item related, we can cover up to $5,000. And so through our deposit assistance, we can help not just with move-in fees, but with furnishings and furniture as well. And that includes movers. Many times, especially with older adults, it's like, yeah, I got to move, but how am I going to pack all my things? How am I going to afford to get my things over to the new place? So through our CalAIM assistance, we're actually able to cover the movers fees as well. And then a tenancy service, which means once you've been housed, we will follow you for at least a year. Have monthly check-ins just to make sure that you can sustain your current housing. The whole point of us paying for you to get into a place is for you to be able to stay there sustainably. And so through CalAIM, we're able to provide lots of different housing support. And then, of course, our EAA, the Environmental Accessibility Adaptations, which is home modifications for your. Again, in order for an individual to live safely and independently at home, you might need grab bars in the bathroom. You might need a ramp to get in and out safely. You might need a stair lift because you can no longer go up and down your stairs without a risk of falling. You might need a specialized shower chair or maybe an install bench in the shower so that you can safely sit, shower as you please. We've also done roll-in showers where we literally will strip out your bathtub and turn your bathroom into a roll-in shower so you can stay in your wheelchair while you're taking a shower. Just roll in, roll out, you're good to go. So through CalAIM, we have access to funding for those few services there. Now, the ADRC works off a no-wrong door system. What that means is no matter who calls into any one of our networks, whether you're calling into 211 or CHEOC or the VSO or DMC or Office on Aging, even if someone is requesting a service that we maybe can't provide, we're never going to tell you, ah, sorry, we can't do it. Bye. Hey, we may not be able to provide the service, but let me connect you to someone who can. So through our network, we actually have a referral form, sends the referrals directly to the agencies that are part of our network. Of course, there are times that we would have to provide you with a resource over the phone, and we can't send a direct referral if they're not in our network. But even then, we like to do a warm handoff. Well, we'll ensure that you get connected to that other agency, whether that's a conference call, whether that's us reaching out to them first to say, hey, we're going to send someone over. Is this something that you guys can help with? That way we're not giving people the runaround. How many times have people just forego a service or give up or just wave trying anything because the frustrations of navigating the system? Like, how many more places can you call? How many more times can you explain your story and talk about your request? The point of the ADRC is to create a streamlined referral process so that people don't have to repeat their story. When we send a direct referral, we have all the details there. So I can call and say, hey, we received this referral. It looks like you're requesting some grab bars in the bathroom. Is that correct? And then we can go ahead and start working instead of starting all over again from the beginning. So this is just a little visual for how the no wrong door would work. So let's say someone calls into the regional center. And keep in mind, this actually used to be all the partners that we had. We had a lot more partners before. But unfortunately, with funding cuts for the ADRC, we have not been able to fund as many partners. So although we can still send referrals or we can provide people with resources to these places, we don't have the direct referral access through our referral form anymore. But here's an example. So if somebody called into the regional center and they said, you know, I have a family member who has memory loss, but we don't really know. They haven't received a diagnosis. We're not really sure. They need more of an assessment first. And maybe some brain activities, maybe like an adult day health center that they can go to and work with someone and have, you know, a social group to connect with. They also used to be married to a vet, and that vet passed away. The husband was a military, you know, person, and they passed away. So, but she's not receiving any type of stipend or any benefit. She also is a person with a disability herself. So with that one call, we can send out a referral to all three agencies. So instead of telling the caller, here's some different places, why don't you call each place and see what they can do for you? We would go ahead and send the referral out, and each place will reach out to the person directly. So then now this person doesn't have to call 15 different places. Each place calls and they say, hey, I received a referral. It looks like you might be interested in our adult day health center. We receive a referral. It looks like you have a husband who is a military, you know, who was in the military, and you're not receiving any monthly benefits right now. Let's find out what's going on.
Ruth, how do you track that? How do you track to make sure that your referrals are actually being followed up on?
That's a great question. So what we do is for our partners, once received, we like a confirmation email, which says, whoever connected with this person would send me an email to, hey, I got your referral. I was able to talk to them and we provided them with so-and-so and they're going to get intaked on Monday.
Check that box off.
Yep.
Perfect.
So that's kind of a way. And we will say, within our network, we're so interconnected. So if there's been times, because sometimes if you're only in referrals a day, things can fall through the cracks. There's been times that an agency might reach out to you and say, hey, I don't think anyone's reached out to this person yet. They said that no one's called on. We say, oh my gosh, let's look it up. What date was that referral set? We'll look through all the referrals. Oh my gosh, yeah. Let me go follow up with the person who received this to see what's going on.
Right.
So we really appreciate a check-in or a follow-up. And so, yeah, that's a very great question. And so, yeah, this is just a little visual of how the No Wrong Door system would work. Now, through the ADRC, we provide four core services. That's the enhanced information and referral, where we're providing resources. That's kind of your first stop. The options counseling is where we literally, depending on what your request is, we have staff who are trained to be options counselors. What that means is whatever you request, it's not our job to tell you what to do or to tell you what we think is best for you. Every person is a pioneer of their own life. They all know what they've tried before, what they're open to, what they don't want to do. Only they know that. So it's our jobs to present options. And we'll let you know, okay, so you're requesting some food support. I know you really didn't like that Meals on Wheels because you didn't like, you know, the frozen one. But here, there's this Project Food Box and it has free produce. It's straight from farm to table. It's produce, veggies, all that good stuff. Is that something you'd be interested in? Or, you know, presenting an option for you. And then it's up to the person whether they want to go through with that or not. They might say, actually, no, I don't really like that either. Is there something else that we can explore? Let's do some research. And so it's all about presenting options depending on what the person is eligible for, what they're looking for, what region they're in. Sometimes there's city-specific resources available. So presenting the options and then giving the consumer an opportunity to choose, again, empowering through choice and education to choose what they feel is best for them. Short-term service coordination. We don't like the word emergency service because we're not emergency service providers, but short-term service coordination is something that needs to happen in a short amount of time. So maybe somebody has a doctor's appointment coming up, but they can't safely get out of their home. And so they need a wheelchair, like now. We all know going through insurance is going to take forever. So through our short-term service coordination, we can actually provide wheelchairs, walkers, rollators, whether it's a loaner equipment or it's something that we're purchasing for you through our Dignity at Home funds. So short-term service coordination can also look like IHSS and home support services. For Medi-Cal recipients, you get free home care. You get hours, certain amount of hours approved every month, and a caregiver who would be able to use those hours, and that's how the caregiver is getting paid. Through short-term service coordination, we know that it's important for you to have this support as soon as possible. Again, it's not an emergency because it can't happen in 2 days, but we like to kind of consider it like within a 30-day period. We want to get this to you, this support to you. So through short-term service coordination, this can also include the pairing with a caregiver. So sometimes you've gone through the IHSS process. You've looked through the public authority care registry list. No one's available. We have a PAS department, a personal assistant services department that can help you get connected to a caregiver. We would pair, basically provide a lead. And of course, it's up to the consumer if that's someone that they match with, but we can provide a lead. So through our short-term service coordinations, things that we know that need to get done right away, like within a 30-day period. This can even include food support, getting connected to a food support or CalFresh at times. Or even people who don't have health insurance yet and need to get connected to Medi-Cal. And we can get them connected to CHIA, who will help them submit that application. And our transition services is for individuals who are currently in facilities. So we want to get people out, bring them back into the community. So if you're in a skilled nursing facility and you've been there for 90 days or more, you can qualify for a NED voucher. That's a non-elderly disabled voucher. You'd have to be between 18 and 62. For people above 62, if they have a home to discharge to, we will make that home accessible. We'll add the ramp, we'll add the grab bars, we'll add the stairlift, chairlift, whatever it is that you need for you to safely discharge from that skilled nursing facility back into home and be able to continue living independently and safely, we'll get those supports set up. That also includes getting your caregiver set up for the time of discharge. Sometimes you need to apply for IHSS while you're still in the facility so that you can have care set up once you get home. So do our information and referral, this is kind of what it looks like. Our reps have access to a database. Through this database, very similar to what 211 uses, you can enter in a keyword and you can find resources specific to what it is that person's looking for. Again, if the service is not within our extended network, then we would provide a resource for you. And so our CLA, so once you submit an ADRC referral, 9 out of 10 times you're going to get connected to a CLA. Our community living advocate, their goal, again, is to keep you in the community. So as we discussed, transportation is something you guys wanted to talk about. Through our CLAs, they can provide you and get you connected to transportation support. That can look like getting connected to a place like Abrazar, which provides senior transportation. That could look like helping you learn how to use access. We actually have a staff member who would go out, meet somebody at their home, walk them to their nearest, wherever the access is going to pick you up from. Wherever access is going to pick you up from, they would pick you, meet you at your home, walk you to, so that you are well-versed in where does access come, how does access work. He will ride on the access bus with you to ensure you get to the same place so that you're getting training, you're getting education on how to utilize systems like access transportation. How do you set up your ride? How do you let them know when to pick you up or where you need to get dropped off? It's all about education. We empower people through educating them and learning how to utilize these community supports. So we also have the in-home care, you know, IHSS advocacy. There's times that a senior is living in a home and their parking spot is like on the whole opposite way of the apartment unit. They've been trying so hard asking their property, hey, I really need to move this spot. Like it's a risk for me to continue walking to that same spot every day. And at night, I don't feel safe walking back to my unit. Never getting approved. We have advocacy where our CLAs would actually work with that property manager or that property owner, the landlord, and advocate for you to get those things that you're requesting. There's certain trigger words that we want to use, like reasonable accommodation, you know, disability, an older adult or a senior. There's certain words, key points that we want to make sure that the property understands. This, yes, we're requesting this, but denying this request could bring some consequences, right? We're not going to tell them, like, we're going to sue you, but it's like, hey, you're really at risk here, right? Usually the properties want to work with us because they understand the risk that they pose and the liability that they hold when they deny certain requests. So we have advocacy. We've got wellness and community support. We have an awesome disability peer chat group. It's a virtual one that you can access from home. It happens every other Thursday, and it's just a safe space to share challenges, successes, whatever it may be. But we can also refer to Adult Day Health Center. They have an awesome Adult Day Health Center. They have physical therapy available, occupational therapy. Everything is covered through your Medi-Cal, by the way. They have great diet, nutrition-specific programs. They have Zumba. They have movie nights, movie days. They have really awesome programs that are completely free to people in Orange County, and people have no idea about it. And so being able to connect many times that social sector of need gets completely forgotten. Or like, they need food support, they need accessibility, they need housing. But how about your mind? How about your mental? How about staying socially connected? There's so much that comes with being socially connected in your community. So home haunts, as we discussed, ramps, grab bars, thresholds, you know, stair lifts, chair lifts, all types of things. Assistive technology. You know, I never knew this, but for individuals who are blind or who have low vision, we have talking glucometers. You need to check your blood pressure, it will talk to you. Talking clocks. You can't tell the time anymore. There are several different awesome assistive technologies, including digital recorders, where you can record notes for individuals who are blind. We have liquid level identifiers, where if you're filling up a cup, how do you know when to stop if you're a blind person living at home alone? You're cooking in the bowl, or you're, you know, putting your milk into your cereal, whatever it may be. How do you know when to stop? There's liquid level identifiers that you literally place either in your cup or in your bowl. And as it gets half full, it'll beep at you. When it's getting full, it'll beep, beep. So there's a lot of different assistive technologies that are available to enable individuals who have disabilities, who are blind, who may be deaf, whatever it may be. There are ringing light up doorbells. If you're deaf, how do you know when somebody's at the door? Many times you know off the vibration, or you can feel something, you want to get someone's attention, you can, you know, kind of lightly tap on the shoulder. But if you live in home alone, how do you know that somebody's coming to your door? Every time you press the doorbell, a light can go off. And this is something, again, an accommodation that sometimes your apartment will provide for you. Many people don't know that they even have that option. And if the apartment won't, well, agencies like this can pay for you to have that installed as long as the apartment approves. And again, going through that advocacy process. So durable medical equipment, this can look like a hospital bed. This can look like wheelchairs, rollators, power scooters. We've been getting a big request for power scooters as well. So first things first, we would teach the person how to get this through your insurance. But if it's going to take too long, if you get denied for any reason, that's when we can look into our purchase, our funding options that we have through programs like Dignity at Home. Employment support. There are so many different awesome employment agencies that are out there will help you get connected. And also, of course, for individuals receiving Social Security, we have the Ticket to Work program and food support. So again, whether that's a food delivery, whether that's connecting you to the nearest food pantry, whatever it may be, we help with all of that. Now, I know that housing isn't quite in here, but the reason is housing is its full own ZEIS that would require its own PowerPoint for that. But I would love again to share about some of the housing supports that we can provide. It would be through CalAIM, again, the deposit assistance, move-in assistance. We can help with tenancy and sustainability for after you've moved in, following you for a year. So currently we have up to $5,000 to fund for somebody's move. So if someone is needing to move from one place to another, of course, the biggest challenge there is finding a place that you can get approved for and that you can afford. So as we know, vouchers don't grow on trees. We can't get a voucher for everybody. Many people don't know this, but for most vouchers, you can only qualify if you're currently homeless. We're trying to prevent that from happening. We don't want to wait until you hit the streets in order for you to qualify for other services. We're trying to prevent that. So what that could look like is connecting you to a transitional program. It can look like connecting you to a shared housing program. So one thing that we're trying to bring back, I know with COVID, everything was set back a bit, but what we're trying to bring back is our senior socials, where people can actually meet other seniors to room with. Let's get an apartment together. Me and you together, we can afford something, but me on my own, we can't. So maybe it's a shared housing deal. Maybe it's a room rental. So many times, people also don't know that there are assisted living waivers. If a person had to go into some type of supported housing, we can help people get connected to a waiver that would cover fees. But again, don't forget, we're trying to avoid that from happening. So just helping to explore what different options are. Like in Portola, the Portola senior apartments, those are new and they're going for like $1,250. And that, I know it's still expensive for very many, but here in Orange County, that's a deal. It's $1,250 for a one bed, one bath. So there are very many affordable apartments. The catch is too, there might be a big wait. So we like to tell people, get on as many wait lists as you can. Don't wait until you can't afford your place anymore. Get on wait lists now. So just educating, helping people get onto as many wait lists as possible. And of course, the OC Housing Authorities, we work with Anaheim Housing and OC Housing, where we assist individuals in submitting applications. Now, those applications only open up once everyone knew. And so we just recently had one open up.
Right.
It was crazy the amount of calls that we're getting. But when they do open up, we help. That's kind of the accommodation that we provide, is by helping people get into applications as soon as possible. We have only a 10-day window to get these in. We need to get these in now. So educating people on what housing options are available, educating people on different, you know, how to find kind of an affordable housing, or maybe you need to fix your credit first. Maybe there's things that you need to work on in order to get approved, to be approval ready. And then once that change is happening, once you're ready, once you've been able to find a place, maybe you apply for those Portola apartments. There was a Garden Grove apartment as well going for $1,099. It was a studio, so it was a much smaller unit. But again, $1,099 here in Orange County is unheard of. And so being able to find out the available resources in the community, connect people to those, and educate them on this is how you keep in mind. This is how you look out for different things that are opening up, get on as many wait lists as you can. And when that move time is ready, we'll pay for it. We'll help you get there. We'll pay for your movers. We'll pay for your move-in fees. We'll pay for your furnishings, or you need a new fridge. We got you, of course, up to $5,000. But these are the types of housing supports that we can provide. And so this is our transitions, again, for people who are in skilled nursing facilities looking to transition back into the community. This is actually a real consumer that we worked with who was able to get his own apartment. And then if you guys wanted, I know I sent a referral form. And so that's only if you guys wanted to go through that. But our referral form is available on our website, dalemc.org. Anyone can send a referral. And the referrals that who receives the referrals is only our networks in the ADRC. But mind you, everything is password protected, so your information is secure. Everything is still confidential. And through our referral form, we have access to our housing services, to our personal assistance services department, our assistive technology department, all departments within the Dale McIntosh Center you have access to, and access to our partners in our extended network. So if you wanted to send a referral to CHEOP for Medi-Cal or to some other agencies outside of DMC, you can click the community partner referral and all of our partners will pop up, and then you choose who you want this referral to go to. So it's a super streamlined process. We have consumers who use it themselves to send a referral for themselves. And then we have service providers who are sending in referrals for their clients, their own consumers. And that about wraps it up.
Great presentation. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How many people are you servicing?
That's a great question. So we just did a quarter report. I would say probably monthly, we're looking at between like, they're probably around 300-400, like 300-500 like monthly. And these are like INRs, but if we're including Office on Aging for the actual ADRC network, we're looking at thousands of people getting served per month. So we have, you know, through the call centers, they get calls like 1,000 calls like a day through the call centers because they're just providing resources. So if we want to include our partners and everything, we're serving thousands of people.
But I'm thinking not including all.
Not including, yeah, I'd say about 300 probably.
300.
Yeah, like direct services. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to add on to that, so you had mentioned that when you do, you know, you're trying to keep people in the community, and when you do are able to assist somebody into like a housing, whether it's you know, you've modified the house or whatever, and then you said that you check up on them at least for a year. Do you have a metric of how many of those people, perhaps the success rate on once you put them back into the community and then you've checked on them when you finally can go? Yeah, okay, good. We're good.
No, that's a really great question. We actually don't have like an average, like we don't have a really recidivism rate that we look at for how many people kind of fall back into need. I will say many people who work with us end up working with us for like the remainder of yeah. their lives. Like they're anytime we may not have heard from them in a year or 2 years, and then something comes up later on and they're calling right back. So but that's a really great question. And actually, I would love to connect with our data team to see, like, maybe this is a metric that we could gather, something that we can look into, because that would give us also a better idea of kind of the actual success rate versus just completing the service mm-hmm. to an actual sustainability like study.
Yeah,
Absolutely. Yeah. That is a great question. And I would love to, I'm actually going to net that.
Yeah, that's a great question.
And we could probably pull that information from Shelly.
Like how many people, because I know people, how many people have completed the service, but as far as like how many people have come back, we can look up like how many status updates, like if they came back in need or not. But I love that question. Thank you for that.
So I, again, this is one of those that I wish we...
I was just going to say, Sandy, you may want to add this for
that. My question was, I've never heard about all these services.
Right.
Fabulous. So 2 points to my question. Would you be able to come and speak to our large group, the Senior Citizen Advisory?
Of course.
It's about 40 people. And then my other second part of...
Oh, you wish.
Yes, 30 to 40. And then my second part, would you be available to come and speak at the senior centers? I'm thinking of Lake Forest, because so many of these things that you just mentioned, you've had people question, and we're kind of like, I don't know where to begin to tell you where to. I know personally some people that had to move, couldn't afford to pay the movers. I know one lady that was going blind, and she could have used many of your services, but so many people don't know about this.
Absolutely.
Would you be able to speak?
I was thinking back on that, because my question was, how do you promote and market and do outreach to the community?
Yeah.
Because this is invaluable information.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah, and do you know what? Okay, so when we originally started the ADRC, which was in 2020, so... There used to be, we were actually one of the first, so one of eight at that time. As of now, today, there's 25. And that funding pool has not changed. So it's been one set funding pool of 10 million, and this is for ADRCs all across California. Like, we have, they're in Marin, like, all, just up north. They're everywhere. But of course, we, for each county, we have one. So,
right.
You know, we're the one for here. But, the increase in ADRCs, which is wonderful news because more people are getting served in other areas, and that's great, but also not so great because we've lost a lot of funding. So as our ADRC grew, again, we've seen how many partners we had when we first started to how many partners we have now. We can't afford to keep up. And so I will say, when we had the CARES Act funding, we used it for marketing. We had ADRC commercials happening on TV. So it was happening on Sunday afternoons. We had an ADRC commercial, which we had consumers who received services. And they did just a 30-second little, this is how the ADRC helps me. And then we had an ad in the OC Register and Excelsior, which is like the Spanish version of the OC Register. And so we had, so those were kind of our marketing. We did actually just, we're almost done updating our OC ADRC website, which also includes our referral form. And so we're trying, and we're trying to get more into the social media thing, like the Facebook, the Instagram.
Yeah.
Going to city council meetings. So I'm a city councilwoman for Villa Park. And I mean, they're usually pretty stingy on their time, but if you were to shorten this to say like 7 minutes, coming to a city council meeting at, you know, the beginning of a public comment section, just to report on this and say, hey, I just want to let you know this is in your community, it's in your neighboring communities. Have you ever considered having somebody go do that?
You know, we would love to. So if we have that in there, we would love to. I know that we've done the Anaheim and the, I believe the Irvine City Council, that we did do a small presentation. We're actually part of like this little council or committee that they wanted to just ask us questions about services to seniors. And so we didn't really get to do a presentation per se, but we've sat on quite a few panels or, you know, kind of been invited to groups to talk about different ways we can service the older adult community. But we would love to get our foot
on the door. I would love to have a county lighthouse meeting, especially because and those commissions or those, you know, sub committees are fantastic. But when you go in front of a council, it's live streamed and it's televised, and you know, so then your real time getting broadcast out, and it's a perpetuity. So everybody that visits it can go access it later.
Absolutely, we would love that.
How many staff do you have, Ruth?
Bill and C, we currently have about 40, I'd say like 40 to 50, like less than 50 for sure. Yeah, so
38 exactly. I sent an old staff email yesterday.
Okay. Can you try to attend the senior health fairs?
So yeah, we've gone, and I know that we've had like booths at several kind of different resource fairs and things like this. We just sat on a panel at the SOCA Senior Summit.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
We just did that
yep.
a couple weekends ago, which was awesome.
Yeah.
There's another one coming up for North Side.
Gosh, we have all of our staff for that one, I think.
Okay.
Yes. We have one staff member that might be able, that is able to make it one last year.
There's a lot of people that connect. But can we get your business card?
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, contact you about speaking. There's been so many
times for their information.
I'll research it, but I don't know where we go.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I know. And I know that that like we've heard before, people like, oh my gosh, you've never heard of this. This is like the best kept secret. And we're like, we don't want to be a secret. Like we have to come, we have funding available. We want to use it. And again, like how many people can safely stay in their homes? It's crazy. We do have like rates for people that have avoided institutionalization. And in just the quarter alone, we served like probably 50 to 60 people in just that first quarter who were literally without this support, were going to be placed into an institution or into a skilled nursing facility and was able to avoid that because they got connected to the proper supports. It's like,
that's information that you need to get out to the community.
Absolutely.
You know, and market and promote yourself. I know my first introduction to Dale McIntosh was translation services for hearing impaired.
Oh yeah, we
have
an awesome department.
And that was when I was working with the city of Laguna Niguel many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, oh, okay, so that is the only thing that sticks in my mind. Having seen this now and been part of the county's effort, I'm like, who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, all of this information, it's and resources, it's I love your setup. I love the no wrong door policy.
Yes.
Policy,
yes.
Because I know myself, if I call my bank or anywhere,
you're like, I give up, I'm not doing it anymore.
Exactly.
So many people do that. Yeah.
I would like to have your card so I can get it to someone on city council so they can contact
you. Yeah,
you're going to get inundated.
So from the CDA, that's one of our biggest funders, and that's a huge initiative we're trying to do right now, is advocate to CDA that if you want us to be able to continue providing these services, we need more funding.
First, I want to say thanks to Beck, because it was Beck's idea to have but secondly, have you communicated with, I think it was OC Collaborative, and they're doing mastering the master plan?
Yes, we're actually, I'm part of that housing committee and then part of the wellness committee.
Okay.
And so we're definitely working on, and we right now, like we've worked with several senior centers, like the Garden Grove with Brenda Bautista, or like, you know, just different senior centers refer to us all the time.
Okay.
I think it's the Lake Forest one, but Ann Edwards Cantor. Right?
Okay.
Anyways, different kind of senior that they just like reach out to us, like we're, you know, they'll like send us referrals, or they just want to call to brainstorm about something. Like somebody came into their center and they're not really sure what supports to provide or what resources might be available. So that's like one of my favorite things to do, is like brainstorm about things. Let's talk about a specific situation and let's lay out, again, options counseling. Let's explore the different options that are available, and you can bring this back to your client and let them know, hey, this is what's available. What do you want to do?
Yeah, something simple that you may want to consider if you haven't already is just putting together like a one-page flyer that gives information and distributing them as in the senior centers. Can you post it up on your bulletin board?
I will say, I noticed one of our Dignity at Home flyers here in the main office, Well, that's what we need is an updated flyer. So we actually have been working on an ADRC like brochure or pamphlet.
Perfect.
And so that way we can, you know, I know that we have some of our different department flyers in like local libraries and kind of random places like that, but definitely have to update our like a flyer or brochure or pamphlet that just
exactly.
all encompassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I thank you so much for coming.
Excellent.
So we as a Senior Citizen Advisory Commission Council, whatever, we're working on, and one of the reasons, this is a prime example, which I'm going to, you know, talk about it when we have our general meetings, is we get speakers information such as like you and it's valuable to us. And so Nathan and myself are the only elected members on this particular council. So it's great for us because we can go back and, you know, disseminate it across whatever. And then, but other individuals might be part of a subcommittee of something and they do their best to go disseminate it. And one of the things that was really kind of a passion for a couple of us on this board is that it never gets past us here,
right?
How can we make sure that it actually goes out much broader? So we're in the middle of kind of doing some bylaw changes, which we're almost not going to be completely done. And one of those bylaw changes is that committees like this that are much smaller would go away, merge, go away. Because all of us either do sit or are invited to sit on the general meeting, which has a much larger population, more elected officials, more community partners. So typically asking you to come back and repeat this is so painful because your time is so valuable and we don't want to take it away, but this is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And so for next year, if you would please consider doing that, that would be a great, I think,
absolutely
ask and really try to push it.
Sandra and Barbara Sloan are our presenter coordinators.
I'll contact her for sure.
That would be great because I'll send out your PowerPoint presentation for all of staff for today and all the committees so they have it.
Absolutely.
But it's different when you're actually explaining it and going through it as opposed to just getting a PowerPoint presentation sent to everybody.
Absolutely. I'll bring snacks in too.
Yes.
Yes.
So, well, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's excellent.
Very good information.
Thank you for thinking about it.
Thank
you too.
Yes. Of course.
Awesome idea.
I will say to yes and everything that you said. Well, first of all, Ruth is amazing and gonna talk about her as if he's not in the room. And then if you forget any or all of what Ruth said, the key that I always remember is have someone call 211. They are connected to our ADRC, they can make the referrals as necessary.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, agenda item number seven, senior non-emergency medical transportation update. Oh, you guys all got the report.
It's pretty much the same as the last report that we've been getting. Senior non-emergency medical transportation program is doing well. It's being used quite a bit. The one thing I need clarification on, the average cost per trip seems very high to me.
I think we all agree.
Yeah.
We've said that since day one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to, I'll talk to Jeanette and see what drives those costs. I know things have gone up, you know, price of gas has gone up and everything else, and it's
gas has gone up. The cost of labor has gone up,
right?
So you're
it's all being reflected.
Insurance,
insurance has gone up, So, but yeah, the program seems to be doing fairly well, and it's still being utilized despite the fact that you know inflation and everything else has gone through the roof. You know, so.
But doesn't show us the number of people. It shows trips.
Right, because it shows the trips versus like a person might take like one way and maybe take a different way back, or there might be, you know,
right,
a different
stops that they might make. Mm-hmm. It's I think OCTA measures its success on these and the amount per trips, and their cost and their data is based on the number of trips, not necessarily the number of people who take them.
Mm-hmm. It could be the same person
making different trips. Exactly. So.
Thank you.
Oh.
Item 8, new business. Don't really have anything new other than I don't know if anyone was able to hop on Zoom for that mastering the master plan presentation. Did you guys see me?
My kitchen. She did very well.
In my kitchen, Patty had asked some electeds for some comments or whatever about the importance of the collaborative and mastering the master plan. So I did, as well as Supervisor Wagner, and I think Assemblywoman Diane Dixon, and a couple others.
I don't recall.
So, but so that was nice that they included me in that. That was wonderful. But the I'm sure we'll hear about it next week's meeting. But it was great. It was long, but it was really good. It was informative. So.
I haven't done it yet, but I think Patty sent out the links to
that.
Yeah. I'm going to do that, but I needed some quiet time to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a good idea that she did that.
You can see me.
That's the vision queen.
Yes. Well, I was kind of in my office, and I thought, everyone else did it in their office, and you can see my kitchen in the back.
Yes, you look fine. I know Linda and Irene, you both asked for extra copies of the survey in English. And since I have you both here, I have them in the back of my car. Would anyone else like some extra surveys to disseminate to senior centers?
I think we still have ours.
Oh, wouldn't hurt. Okay. I'll walk out with you guys. I'm assuming you're in the parking lot, and I'll just hand them from my car to you.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, and then the bylaws update, you have the information on that also.
Bylaws, just saw the draft staff report yesterday, had some suggested edits to it. It's gone back. It's going through the approval process here. Will be hopefully on the board agenda for the last meeting in January. That's what we're aiming for. So once it goes there, hopefully, fingers crossed, gets approved, and then we're up and running.
Yeah,
you know, with the new structure.
So if that goes through, when do you think possibly?
It will go into effect, technically it goes into effect the date the board approves it. That being the case, like logistically, I think at that point there will be an email sent to all committees saying, this is what's happening. We'd have to revise the schedule of meetings to where it will just be the SCAC general meeting and the executive committee meetings. And then whoever is going to be chair, vice chair, and the executive committee next year, we're seriously going to have to sit down and take a look at the agenda and the format and how we want to restructure the agenda to make sure that it's more inclusive of the issues and open to more discussion of, you know, the issues at hand, and also establish, are we going to still focus on housing and transportation? Are we still going to focus on health? My recommendation would be to pick one, two of the most issues that are real issues that are attainable, that is within the purview of the committee at large to make recommendations on, you know. So all of that has to be kind of outlined going forward.
No pie in the sky stuff that we would love to have, but we can't.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, thinking out loud, I mean, I know we've spoken about this before at various subcommittees, but I think communication, education, and getting information out there, mm-hmm. I think we all need to do a better job at that. I mean, we've all sat around tables and we've gone, yes, we agree, but then that's it. You know, there's no real, okay, well, what's the plan of action? How do we go about doing that? You know, so that would be one thing, because this is, I think this is invaluable to any senior anyone approaching seniorhood.
And not even
older
seniors.
Yeah.
With disabilities.
People with disabilities, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's because a lot of the time it's, you know, especially if you have an older adult living at home, a lot of the time is, you know, I know I need this, but who do I call?
Yeah.
Right. Where do I go? You know?
Absolutely.
And if you're not familiar with, like, I know it's, I have to step out of my role in county city government and put myself in the role of a resident, because we get so used to being, oh, well, I just call this person, I just call that person. But the average person, I guarantee you, the average person on the street wouldn't have a clue.
No.
Wouldn't have a clue.
Nobody on my council would have a clue.
Yeah. So, but again, a lot of it comes down to same old thing, funding, you know.
Yeah. Really quick, I am so sorry. I have a hard stop. I'm already late for different people, unfortunately. But I do want to make a quick announcement, if that's okay.
Sure, of course.
So one of the things that DMC has been advocating for and successfully got through OCTA, which reminded me, is now, so I don't know if you knew this before, but John Wayne Airport only used to have one pickup stop. Now it has three, so A, B, and C terminals. At arrivals. And if you are on access and you are trying to get to a departures terminal, all you have to do is just say, oh, I'm going to Southwest, going to Delta, go drop off right. So that's already started 8 days ago. So yeah. November 1st,
yeah.
We're
good.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you,
Beth.
We're basically tonight anyway. So, I'll start with nine. So pending that the bylaws go through and this committee is no longer, you know, I just want to say an honor, I love it. However, if there is you know, a meeting for housing constitution next year, anybody would like to take chair?
I don't know, doing such a great job.
Well, I don't want to commit
anyone. I think you're supposed to be on for 2 years.
Okay. Fantastic.
That's how it's
I do think that we changed it, and it was 2 years. Because
okay.
It used to be definite, remember, when it was Catherine?
Well, that was Catherine.
And then,
I wanted to make sure.
And then we did some work on it. I think
okay.
It really should
work.
I did it 2 years. And I did it 2 years.
Well,
you need to serve another.
So one place to
I just want to say it. I always. I never want to limit somebody if they ever feel the need that they want to do something. So
I don't think anybody feels limited.
Okay.
Did anybody feel limited?
Not at all.
Okay. Anybody else have any other comments or roundtable? So we're dark in December. So everyone, you know, Thanksgiving holiday season, everyone's healthy and has a wonderful holiday. I think the question is, how come we're at 1% by 11? So 10:30.
Yeah,
I
was
looking
at that.
Oh, it says tentative.
Tentative.
Yeah. I was wondering why 1 o'clock.
It's yeah. Over next year, we won't have approval. We'll have to announce we're going to have a meeting, but will we really have a meeting?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a dumb question, but.
I would plan on having a meeting in January on the dates that come out on the schedule. I would plan on that. And then we'll have to see what happens at the board meeting.
Okay.
To see what happens in February. So. Yeah, my apologies. That's a typo on my part.
Yeah. Okay, but does anyone else have anything or comments or anything?
10:33.
Yep. Then I will adjourn the meeting at 10:33.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you.